The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
It's all happening on the electoral front at the moment, but we want to talk about whether younger people are actually engaged in any of it. Leon Diop is with me, the writer, founder of Black and Irish, social inclusion activist as well. Leon, it's good to see you. Thanks a million.
Good afternoon, Kieran.
For coming into studio. Are younger voters engaged?
Well, I think there's a cohort that are engaged that understand the political systems and are actively voting. But I do think that there is potentially a larger cohort, and that's reflected in the figures of who voted, who maybe aren't fully aware of the political systems in Ireland or in Europe, and certainly aren't going out and voting. In the last European election, we had 50% of Irish people go out and vote in European elections. That dropped to 41% for younger voters as well. So I do think that there's a disconnect in younger people and the political systems in Ireland and in Europe.
And was it ever thus? I mean, to a degree it was, wasn't it? Younger people are always slightly more disengaged maybe than older generations.
I think so, but that shouldn't be the case anymore. We have the tools now to be more connected than ever with social media. We have all of the information in the world at our fingertips. And realistically, we should be in a position where people are informed, they're engaged, and they have a desire to act. And then they do go out and act, and they act by making sure that their voice is heard and that they vote. But I think there is some problems there. And social media is, I think, one of the biggest drivers in our world today for everything, and naturally politics is falling under that, but there's some problems with social media and politics.
Okay, so what are those problems?
So I think when we look at social media, we have to recognise that that is where a lot of people, I think over 70% now of people, are getting their news sources from social media. There's a lot of information on social media, and a lot of people use social media to inform themselves of different things. The issue with social media is that there's an information overload. Everything is on social media, from sport, music, everything else that you are interested in. So politics is competing with large amounts of other categories for your attention span. There's also then, I think, a little bit of apathy as well with young people, because they have everything else that really drives up their dopamine that they can engage with. Why would they engage with a boring old politician who they have no relation to at all, you know, and can't relate to, or someone who is in Europe making all of these decisions, who's both geographically and metaphorically a million miles away? Well, obviously not a million miles away, but you know what I mean. So those are a couple of the problems. Another problem is we have very big problems nowadays with misinformation, and particularly disinformation. Disinformation that's being targeted at young people in order to trigger emotion in them and make them lean towards certain ways. And it's very difficult for young people to know what to believe and to know, you know, who they should, you know, trust. That's a huge problem. I think one of the final problems is engaging in politics can be a bit cringy for young people. And cringe is a huge thing. You know, I have a 15-year-old sister and I can't even breathe without her, around her, you know, without embarrassing her. So this is a huge thing for younger people, particularly coming into that age group of 18, 19, 20, when they see young people trying to engage in an activist-y way. It's a little bit cringy, you know. So what we need to do is show people that, you know, it is cool to engage with politics. It can be cool to engage with politics. And that's I think what we need to show.
When you talk about trust as well, and younger people maybe not knowing who to trust, you know, in terms of misinformation, you know, I often wonder, is there a part of that conversation that we miss? And it's that one of the consequences, we always talk about people kind of falling victim to the algorithm, you know what I mean, and believing lies. But actually there's another consequence, and it's that kind of the more savvy teenager realises, you know what, I know I shouldn't be trusting this, and I'm not really willing to put in the legwork to kind of go and verify sources. So actually, I'm just going to disengage. It's actually safer for me to just disengage.
It can be, absolutely. Like, apathy is a huge thing, because these systems can be complex. Engaging with the European Parliament can be complex. It's not as straightforward as a vote for Fine Gael is a vote for Fine Gael. You know, especially with Europe, when you're voting for Fine Gael, you're actually voting for the European People's Party. So, and a lot of people don't, or aren't fully aware of that, you know. And these,
I'd wager a lot of people who might not be described as younger voters don't realise that either, Leon, exactly. Now.
You know, so people can get very overwhelmed very quickly with the political systems, and we need to give people information, clear and concise information, in a way that they can digest it and they can relate to it and that they trust it. And I think that will drive up voter engagement.
How do you give them that information? I mean, do you, as somebody maybe who's been tasked by a political party or by a particular politician to reach out to younger voters. Do you try and give them that information through those mediums, through social media?
Yes, sir.
How do you do that without being really cringy?
All right. So I think one of the best ways that you can do it is by giving people the information from sources that they trust. People will trust celebrities, and that's, I think, why a lot of celebrities are being drafted into politics. But I think given the information, true sources that people can trust, being those celebrities, recognizing that you need to give information in different ways. TikTok is not a social media platform. It's an entertainment platform, and people need to use it in that way. When people go on TikTok, they're not going on to check it. They're going on to, you know, feel good. They're going on to laugh. They're going on for their emotions to be targeted and stuff like that. So we need to make, I think, politics a little bit more entertaining in that way. And that's where you need to be putting out your information through TikTok, but then also through Instagram as well. Using Instagram the way it should be used, using your grid posts as a means of engaging your core audience, using your stories as a means of engaging your audience, and using Reels as a way of reaching new audiences. So yeah, I think that's what political parties and political institutions need to start doing better.
Calvin O'Brien is with us as well, who's co-host of the Talking Bollocks podcast. Calvin, thanks a million for coming into studio.
Yeah, thanks for having us in.
You guys have a huge following, obviously, in terms of listenership and online as well. I mean, is there an appetite amongst younger listeners of your podcast for information about these type of things? Or is there kind of just an apathy? There's just a disregard. Oh, bloody elections.
No, I think there is an appetite, and I agree with everything that Leon has been saying. It's how we deliver that to people, because growing up, you never thought really about politics, and this is how the system works. It's just one of those things that you're seeing on the news, and when the election time came around, you're seeing all these faces on posters on lamps down the road. But there is a big appetite, because people are starting to see, and particularly in the last general election, we've seen a change and we've seen a shift, and people are starting to see that, oh, if I actually go and I do vote, a change can happen. Because no matter what, once you're a registered adult in this country and you have the right to vote, your vote is as good as mine. So I don't get two votes, you don't get two votes. Everybody's vote counts as the same. And people are starting to realise that. And we've seen it with the last referendum. There is a lot of misinformation out there. And that's something that we do need to combat. Like, one thing that I always see, and it drives me insane when I see it online, is that, oh, if you don't vote, the vote goes to the government. Like, how does that work? Because if I was in favour of the government, then I just wouldn't leave the house on a polling day, you know? But I think it's how we deliver that to people. I think there is an appetite, and I think we will see a shift, particularly in the upcoming local elections. You're going to see a lot of younger people getting out to vote, because they will see the change on the streets.
And in terms of reaching out to those who are disengaged, I asked the question of Leon, how do you do it in a way that isn't cringy? The other way I could have worded it is, how do you do it in a way that's not patronising? Because that's the other thing, isn't it? That sometimes the politician, they kind of talk down to the apathetic voter or the younger voter.
And that will only shy people away from it. I think we just need to educate people more by just breaking down terms like, here's a referendum. What is a referendum? Well, a referendum is a change to the constitution. The constitution is the set of fundamentals a country is founded on. Break that down. Use slides on Instagram. You know, we can do 10 slides on a grid post on Instagram. Break that down. This is what it means. If you vote this way, this is what will happen. If you vote that way, this is what will happen. And it's that simple. Other than that, you're just saying stuff like, oh, this process has been passed today in the Dáil, for example, and that's it. And that's all you see on the news. No one knows what it actually means. It hasn't been explained to anybody. So people are intimidated by that. So when you're trying to get people to come out and vote, they don't know what they're voting for. They don't know who they're voting for. They don't even know what the vote would mean. And people would rather abstain from voting than go out and vote, because they're not sure what they're actually voting for.
That's interesting, because I know Stephanie Preisner does a great post like that online on her social media platform, on Instagram mostly, whereby she kind of just explains things in a very, very simple way. Stuff that, and look, maybe we're guilty of it, and I'm guilty of it on this show, that we talk about an issue and we assume a certain level of knowledge amongst everybody listening. You all know what the background is to this. And if you don't know, then it just alienates you, maybe. You know, you don't feel like you're kind of part of the conversation.
Yeah, and that can come across as patronising then, because people will feel like maybe imposter syndrome, or they'll feel insecure, like, I'm not supposed to have this conversation. When realistically, as I started with this conversation, your vote is as good as anybody else's. Yeah. So we need to appeal to you. And as I said, I think we'll see it. We'll see a big shift in the upcoming local elections. And within the next 12 months, we'll have a general election as well, and we'll see the poll numbers, we'll get the turnout.
Leon, there's kind of a cynical interpretation as well of kind of government inaction or political inaction on this front, and it's that incumbents don't want younger people overly engaged.
Yeah, I guess so.
Younger people are more likely to vote for change.
Yeah, I mean, when I'm hearing the figures that you were discussing about, you know, the Housing for All scheme, and I'm living with my fiance and, you know, her family, and I'm hearing, okay, it's going to be even harder now to get a house. I'm getting riled up, but I can understand why there's a lot of people that are like, oh, look, you know, this isn't for me. We need to recognise that there's a lot of disenfranchised communities out there, not just from, you know, different kind of racial and ethnic backgrounds, but from different kind of social, economic backgrounds as well. Like, I'm from Tala. Tala South was one of the lowest turnouts in the country for the last local election. That is a big barrier that we need to overcome as well. And I think that
that's because people don't see that there's any return for their vote.
They're feeling left behind. They're feeling like, you know, okay, well, you know,
no matter who I vote for, yeah, you know, we're still not getting the services we need.
Absolutely, yeah. So what we need to show is that your vote is important, and that you do need to make sure that it's being counted, and that you do have a voice. And the more that you engage, the more return that you'll see, and I think one of the biggest challenges that we need to overcome is getting that information across in the ways that people will trust and that they will engage with political systems.
Because that's the challenge as well, isn't it, Kevin? I get, maybe there was a certain amount of knowledge accrued certainly when I was younger, just by osmosis. You couldn't help it because there wasn't social media platforms. There really wasn't. The internet was in its infancy. It was kind of dial-up modems and your parents timing it because you were paying phone charges every time you wanted to go on it. You kind of had to watch the news.
Yeah.
And there weren't the plethora of radio stations. So you were listening. Even if you wanted to avoid it, we'll put it this way, you knew who all the cabinet ministers were. You knew what the government was doing of the day. And you can't assume that anymore.
Yeah, so like my earliest memories of politics is sitting down, the news being on, and me dad being the buffer between what was being talked about on the telly and then translating it to me in simple speak. And how I knew something bad was happening was how riled up he was getting. But just touching on what Leon was saying, like, our communities are feeling left behind. My community, my constituency, has one of the lowest voter turnouts as well. And what we're on the podcast blue in the face and saying is that if you want change, you need to realise that people in government and politicians will look at you as capital. How they get to where they want to go is based on voting turnout. So you literally can dictate the trajectory of their career by going to the polling stations. And there's a reason why certain areas are neglected and certain areas are favoured in terms of everything. And you look, and I'm sick of seeing online, you see people sharing stuff being like, oh, that's terrible, or this government is getting worse, blah, blah, blah. If you want the change, you have the power to make the change. Get out there and educate yourself. And it's actually like politics is very simple. The system's in place, the democracy is very simple. It's the people that complicate it. And I think it's deliberately complicated. It's just too many movement parts. There's one person standing on one side of the room arguing with another person on the other side of the room. You'd never get that in a boardroom. In a boardroom, everyone's brought in, you get a clash of ideas, but in the end, we go with the best idea to drive the company forward. Mm-hmm. The government should treat this country like a company. We are the customers of that. And they need to realise, we need to realise that we have the power to make the change.
Exactly. There's some great text coming in. I think the problem with getting young people involved in politics isn't around education. It's the way younger people are talked about and talked to, saying that they just need to be educated. Well, a lot of young people are brilliantly educated. They know much more than they're given credit for. And saying that the only reason they don't engage is because of education or a lack of is not why they're not engaging. They're being spoken down to. And rather than being spoken to as equal voters, which they are, says one listener.
Absolutely.
Somebody else says disinformation works both ways, as in our government promising things coming up to an election and then not delivering.
Yeah.
Isn't that disinformation, just like Simon Harris with all the promising he gave you in interviews? Well, not promises he gave to me, promises he gave to children waiting on scoliosis surgery, which I have no hesitation in reminding him of. Why not make voting an obligation like in Australia, says Chris? Mm-hmm. Anything to that, Leon?
Yeah, well, voting is an obligation as well. In Belgium, they have about 88% turnout on elections, which I think is a good thing. But, you know, again, it's a bit of a blunt instrument. You don't want to have to bait people into, you know, you want them to feel like they want to engage in politics. You want them to feel like they have the power rather than, if I don't go and vote, I'm going to be fined. Because all that's going to do is target the disenfranchised again, people who are coming from lower socioeconomic backgrounds who have to work that extra shift in order to provide for their family. They don't have the time to get out and vote, and what, they get fined because they didn't vote? I think that's problematic. So I think we can do it in a better way than obliging people to vote.
Calvin, do you think there's any argument in favour of not forcing people to vote, but mandating a vote and finding people who don't?
It is, but you should feel obligated. It should feel like it is your duty. Mm. It is your country, especially if you're a taxpayer in this country. You're paying taxes. That tax goes to how the country is ran, and you won't go and dictate how that's being ran. That, to me, that's crazy. And like in other countries, you can do the mail-in ballots. I worked with a fella from Germany, and he had to go and post his vote home. That's how much it meant to him. Mm-hmm. The country he wasn't even living in, he wanted to go and vote because it was his duty as a citizen to still go and vote. Whereas I disagree with saying we need to educate people, because give me a reason why people aren't going to the polls. It's because they don't really understand what's happening. And it's such a touchy subject. It's a fine line we're crossing here. We do need to be able to educate people without sounding patronising. And I mean, I'm walking down the road, every 20 metres I'm seeing the same fella or woman's face who to vote for. Do you know how outdated that is?
Yeah.
Like, how many people are out there looking on the street polls who to vote for? We're looking at our phones probably 8, 9, 10 hours a day. That's where we get our information from. That's how we consume it. Why isn't a politician on there saying, this is who I am, this is who I represent, this is the date I need you out to vote, this is my manifesto, and then we go from there. And then people can engage with that, and he can come back on and say, oh, these are the 10 most frequently asked questions I'm getting, I'm going to break them down for you. But instead, we're not. We're getting this whole, oh, stay out of this, you don't understand what's happening. And people are getting disenfranchised with it.
Kieran, read the voting conversation. The week after the Brexit result, Google released the top 5 things searched for in the UK. Number 1 was, what was the EU? Number 2, what does leaving the EU mean for the UK? Too many people get their opinions from the pro-leave newspapers. If you don't read the newspaper, you're uninformed. If you do read them, you're misinformed, it says Tony. But listen, that's an interesting, the first part of that text, I guess it speaks to what we're talking about to a degree, or certainly you were as well, Calvin, initially, about needing to explain the simplicity of things. Despite the massive kind of constitutional question that country faced, that the number one thing people Googled after was, what actually is the EU?
Yeah, well, going on that, what is the EU? What does Brexit mean? The last referendum we had 4 possible outcomes. 2 yeses, 2 noes. Yes, no, no, yes. Yeah. I went through all those possible scenarios and I looked at what was best for me, what was best for my family and my situation. I didn't care what my friends were voting. I didn't care what my immediate family were voting. I cared about what my vote would change for me. And that's where I went with that. And that's what I recommend people would do. Look at what's the possible outcomes, what am I being asked here to vote on, and then go from there.
Well, listen, it's been a really great conversation and thank you both very much for coming into studio. Leon Diop is a writer. He's the founder of Black and Irish and a social inclusion activist. And of course, Calvin O'Brien is co-host of the Talking Bollocks podcast.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.